Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 29. We finished up in verse 30 last Sunday. We pick up in verse 31 today. We're going to work our way through chapter 30, verse 24. As you're finding your place there, we are in the season of Thanksgiving. And I know all you putting your trees up already and decorating your houses. And I used to be anti-pre-Turk really hard, but I don't know why. It's just like it just didn't fit. But man, it brings so much joy to my wife. I'm like, well, I'll fight it. You know, it's just good. I even watched, it wasn't a Hallmark movie. It was Netflix last night, but it was a Hallmark script. It was just the same thing. They kissed with like 30 seconds left, and that was the end of the movie. And praise the Lord. I even watched one of them. You say, man, you lost your man card. Now, guys, make your wife happy. It's a good thing to do. And so as we go into Thanksgiving, I just want to thank our veterans, those of you that have served, all the men and women that have served through the years that allow us the freedoms that we have. We do want to take time and just give thanks there. I tell you, they fought for the right for people to have the freedoms we have and even vote different than they would vote, right? And it's just we're so grateful for all that have served, and I just want to thank you. And speaking of Thanksgiving, tonight we're going to have supper, 5 o'clock. We got 300 pounds of turkey meat that we need to get rid of. We got some ham, and in there, and we got dressing and cranberry sauce and all the other stuff that's coming. My wife's making a homemade mac and cheese. Just lay off of it till I get there. All right, y'all good? But we're going to have a good time. Come out and join me. Think, man, what can we get the pastor for Christmas? Here's what I want. I want you to come hang out and fellowship with us tonight, okay? Some of my favorite times. We do this on Palm Sunday. We have a lunch. On the 4th of July, we have a barbecue. And then on Thanksgiving, we have our meal together. It's three of my favorite times of the year that I might not eat. I'll probably be running my mouth the whole time, because I'm just glad to see y'all, and you won't be able to talk to everybody, but you'll be able to fellowship with somebody, and I pray you'll join us tonight, and just record the football game. What time the Saints play? They don't play tonight, do they? I don't care. This is better than the Saints, all right? Definitely better than the Saints, but anyway, well, praise the Lord. We ain't going to get there. But come join us. If you're our guest today, we're so glad to have you. We're working our way verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Genesis. We went 1 through 11 and then took a break, and then we picked back up in chapter 12. We're in chapter 30. We're going to go a few more weeks, and then we'll take some time off for Christmas. And then in January, I've got something that I'll be talking more and more about in the weeks ahead, but we're going to walk through a study together, a 28-day journey in January that I'm asking all of you to join us on, not just Sunday mornings, but every day for those 28 days. You'll hear more and more about that in the weeks ahead. And then in February, we'll pick back up, and we'll go through about chapter 37 of Genesis, and then we're going to go to back to the New Testament for a while, and then we're going to come back to Genesis. And we'll finish Genesis sometime next year, right? It's on the calendar to finish next year. And so I've enjoyed this study. But as I'm watching Jacob and his journey, a schemer, a cheater, a liar, and yet God's going to raise him up to be the nation of the father of the nation of Israel. He's going to change his name. He cheats his brother out of his, he really just kind of took advantage of his brother's sorriness to get his birthright, but then lies and cheats him out of his blessing, and then his brother's ready to kill him. He's running. But that dream he had, that vision he had from God, that God is with him. As we're singing that song, The Blessing, it's one of my favorite songs. The greatest gift God gives us is that he's with us. He's for us. Even when we're not for him, even when we're not doing things in the way we ought to be doing them, God is still often working in our favor. When we are faithful, he is faithful. When we are unfaithful, he's still faithful because he's God. And what a great gift we have in him. And Jacob is receiving that. But we're at the point in the story of Jacob, in the timeline of Jacob's story, that even as a young boy, when I'm reading through Genesis for the first time, I'm like, that ain't right. That is messy. That's sloppy. As a single man, I thought, that's crazy. As a married man, I don't even know how to describe it. The trauma and the, not the trauma, well, trauma too, but the drama and the chaos that had to surround Jacob and his life. And so we come into the time he's married Leah unknowingly, and then he married Rachel, and then the family begins to grow. Look with me in verse 31 of chapter 29. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. She conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him three sons. And therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. God continues his plan through Leah's line, through Leah's life. And Leah, the Bible says that God saw that Leah was hated. And the idea there is not how we would consider hate, or we consider, you know, there's certain things that I don't like. But she was unloved. She was uncherished. She was unappreciated. Rachel, Jacob loved, and Leah, he despised. He was not favorable to her. He was not kind to her. He did not show her affection. She was unloved. And yet God opened her womb, and then Rachel was barren. And either way, we see that God is the giver of life. And I just want you to look at your children and just understand that every child is a gift from God. And God had opened up Leah's womb, and she began to have babies. Unlike all the other wives through the patriarchs, there wasn't a lot of struggle in having children for Leah. It was like, boom, 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 boom. Amen. It's like, praise the Lord. It's just, it goes quick. Sometimes folks have a hard time having children, and sometimes folks have ease having children, and all of them are gifts from the Lord. She has Reuben, and she said, God has seen my affliction. So Reuben's name sounds like the word in Hebrew for see, to see. And then Simeon, God has heard her troubles. In the naming of her children, she's desiring to have the affection and the attention and the approval of her husband. And yet, even in the naming of her children, she lays out her struggles that she is walking through. Levi sounds like the Hebrew word for attached or joined. And then Judah, at this point, I really believe Leah's trying to trust God and praise God. And she just says, we just have to praise the Lord. And she names the fourth son Judah. Levi will become the priestly line. Moses and Aaron come from the lineage of Levi. And then Judah will become the king line, the messianic line, David and Solomon. And then eventually Jesus will come through this lineage. In all her trials and all her struggles, God was bringing about his plan. God saw her affliction. God heard her troubles. And God is bringing some of the greatest gifts the world has ever seen, and the greatest gift the world has ever seen, through the lineage of Judah, and through the lineage of Leah, through her son Judah. But there's just chaos. I will tell you this. Proverbs 18 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. A wife is the second greatest gift that any man will ever receive. I remember I posted that on Facebook one time, and one of my wife's friends got upset and said, second, who's first? And that's Jesus. Ladies, y'all are amazing, and one wife is a great gift from God. I can't imagine what two wives is, though. It's not the same. The blessing is, somehow the blessing's gone, I believe with all my heart, if you're in this type of situation that Jacob's in. Now, I can't ever figure out what Solomon did. Solomon had so many wives, but he had different, they weren't sisters. He had all the same number of mother-in-laws, 300 wives and 700 concubines. So that's 1,000 women. He was supposed to be the wisest man in the Bible, and I believe the Bible is true, but even the wisest man in the world did some incredibly dumb things. But just think of the tension that was constantly in the household. We don't get a serious look into the situation. We just get little bits and pieces, but I can't imagine that there was much peace in the situation that Jacob and Leah and Rachel found themselves. It's conflict and chaos. Look at chapter 30. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. Envy never brings about any great blessing. She said to Jacob, give me children or I shall die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Then she said, let's just make this situation worse. She said, here is my servant Bilhah. Go into her, so that she may give birth on my behalf, that I even may have children through her. So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel says, God has judged me and has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. And then Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings, I have wrestled with my sister. And I just think this is incredible. She thinks she's won something and have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. This envy and this competition, unhealthy type of competition, is bringing chaos and conflict into this family. I like competition. I think competition is a good thing. If you're going to play a game, you ought to play to win. If I play Monopoly, my job and my goal is to break you and to have everything. That's the goal of competition. And that can get a little bit unhealthy sometimes, right? But she's competing and she feels like it's a competition between her. It's just chaos and conflict. And Leah, who I believe had really, to this point, handled this thing well, and she's trying to honor God in this whole process, the envy and the jealousy and the competition seeps into her as well. And when Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. If you're counting, that's 1, 2, 3, 4 wives. Okay? Then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son, and Leah said, good fortune has come, so she called his name Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son, and Leah said, happy am I. I think she's really just trying to convince herself. For women have called me happy, so she called his name Asher. That's 4 wives, 4 children by Leah, 2 children by Bilhah, and 2 children by Zilpah, and Rachel's still unable to have a child. In the days of wheat harvest. Let me just catch you up here. Rachel has an ungodly response. She envies her sister. There's strife between her and Jacob. There's arguing between her and Jacob. So she offers her servant Bilhah. We already saw from Sarah when she offered Hagar, this is not God's answer to the problem. It just causes greater conflict. Bilhah has Dan, who is the word that God has judged between her. I don't think she really wanted God's judgment at that time, I'm pretty sure. Naphtali was wrestling. She had wrestled with her sister, and somehow she thinks that she has won. Leah becomes jealous in that way, corresponds similarly to Rachel, and offers her servant Zilpah, and she has Gad, and she sees that as good fortune, and she has the servant Zilpah has Asher, and Leah says, I'm happy. And I just think, like I said, she's trying to convince herself. Is conflict and chaos. And then as we continue in verse 14, the spiral of chaos continues. In the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found some mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. And in the language of translation, mandrakes was called the love fruit. Maybe they thought it had some ability as an aphrodisiac. And Reuben had found these mandrakes and brought them to his mother Leah. And Rachel says to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. And then the truth kind of comes out. There's a little bit of glimpse of the truth of all that's happening here in this family. And it's not about the mandrakes, folks. Listen to what Leah says. Is it a small matter that you've taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? This strife, this envy, this conflict is just spiraling in this family. Rachel said, then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes. There's a trade that takes place here. And when Jacob came from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come into me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. I just kind of wondered how Jacob might have responded to that. But he lay with her that night, and God blessed, listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a 5th son. And Leah said, God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband, so she called his name Issachar, which means hired. It's the same word there, and his name is similar to the same word that we see in verse 16 where she says, I have hired you. Pretty sure he heard the story growing up of how he was conceived. Can you imagine? You ever go to the family reunion and there's drama? Is that just my family? Is that just the Kiker folks? Can you imagine the drama at this family reunion? Well, your mom, who now, just the conflict and the chaos. Can you imagine the looks as they passed each other on the property? If looks could kill, I think that there's not peace here. There's not stableness here. There's God's plan being worked out in the middle of this nonsense and this chaos. God takes all this ugliness and all this chaos and all this that is contrary to his plan, and he brings together the only solution that can solve it. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me. Listen, that's all she was after, was just the love and the affection of Jacob, because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Dinah means to plead one's cause or bring judgment, and her name is fitting. We're going to get, that's going to be a fun passage to preach, Brother Pete. You know, it's just going to be fun. Then God remembered Rachel. God listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. And the idea is that he does add another, and we don't see Benjamin. This is 11 of the 12 that have been born. We don't hear of Benjamin until chapter 35. But what we see in this passage is a plan that is contrary to God's design, a plan that is contrary to God's way, and yet even in that conflict and in that chaos, God is going to work it together to fulfill his plan. We see Reuben. God sees Leah's affliction. We see Simeon. He heard her troubles. We see Levi, the lineage and line of the priestly line of Moses and Aaron. We see Judah, the lineage and line of the Messiah and the kings. We see that the servant Bilhah is given to David, and we have Dan. Rachel thinks she's won some type of competition. When we see Naphtali, she wrestled against her sister and thought there was some level of victory there. We see Gad, and Leah proclaims that once her servant Zilpah had Gad, that she had had good fortune. And Asher, and Leah tries to convince herself by his name that she's happy. The spiral continues, and Jacob's like just the hired hand. He's hired out with mandrakes, and we see Issachar, which means hire. We see Zebulun, which Leah is just praying that her husband would honor her. We see Dinah, whose name means to bring judgment, and we're going to see that story is a tragic story as well. Then God remembers Rachel, and we have Joseph. She asks that God may add a child, and then Benjamin comes in chapter 35. Rachel dies in the delivery of that child. And we have the 12 sons of Jacob. In the midst of the chaos, and in the midst of the conflict, God takes our mess and continues the work. Let me give you a few takeaways and I'm done. What do you take away from this? God's design is always the best plan. And this is contrary to God's design. God's design is always the best plan, but even in the midst of our mess, our mistakes, our confusion, and even sin, God is still working out his plan. Aren't you glad? What if God needed us to do everything perfectly for him to get what he wanted out of our lives and our ministries and our testimonies? There'd be no hope. But God takes our mess, and he's still working. But let me remind you of this. There is no sustainable peace to be had when you're living outside of God's design. There is no sustainable peace to be had when you're living outside of God's design. We read Jacob's story, and we know on the backside that God used it in miraculous ways, but I can't imagine that that was a household of peace and joy. I can't imagine that was a household of celebration and fellowship and just laughter. Y'all know this, right? I've told y'all this. Our family's not perfect, mainly because I'm in it. But do you just enjoy those times where you just laugh, where you just can just be together and just, and sometimes it's just goofy. We had a marshmallow fight last night at our house. I mean, it was the big whomping marshmallow. We roasted some marshmallows over a fire, and I was going to bed, and I saw four of them sitting there, so I just pelted Caleb with one of them, and then it kind of worked from there. And I just remember thinking, man, that was fun. Not just hitting my children with stuff, but just, you know. It was fun. But just to laugh. I don't think there was much laughter in that home. I don't think there was much joy in that home. Sometimes, I bet there was plenty of yelling. I bet there was plenty of cross words. I bet there was plenty of mean looks. I bet there's plenty of tension. Can you imagine? There's tension in our house sometimes too. But man, God's plan, God's design is always the way. And outside of God's design, rebelliously living outside of God's design, there is no sustainable peace. You may convince yourself you're at peace for seasons, but there will not be peace. Number two, God hears and God sees our struggles. I feel for Leah. She didn't choose that. She was put into that by her father. She was put into that by Laban's deceit. And yet she strives to have the approval and the favor of her husband. And even in the name of her children, she reckoned that God hears what we're going through. God sees what you're going through. Say, preacher, why doesn't he always fix it? I don't know. He's God and I'm not. But he sees us. He hears us. And finally, I want you to see this. No matter our circumstances, let us praise the Lord. She names that fourth child Judah. Praise the Lord. All this chaos around her, and she's still thinking, praise the Lord. No matter what our circumstances, let us praise the Lord. Why? Because we never know how God is working about to bring blessing. Leah struggled. She didn't have the circumstances that she desired, but God takes that child Judah, and out of Judah's lineage, we have David and Solomon and all the trials that come there, but eventually here comes Jesus. Jesus is coming. And all this mess and all this chaos and all this conflict, Jesus is coming out of it. No matter what your circumstances this morning, I can assure you God's not done yet. God's not finished working. And it may not be that you even see the fruits of it in your life, but maybe there's something God intends for you to do and a step that God intends for you to make that's going to change your family tree. That's going to change and break some family curses and some family bondage. Somebody's got to finally decide, hey, we're going to quit adding to the chaos and we're going to do things God's way. Can I just remind us, life has got its own chaos. We need to quit helping it. We need to quit adding to it. We need to quit causing the drama ourselves. I deal with some stuff that's not my fault. I deal with some issues that somebody else did. But the primary things that I struggle with and I deal with, I know who the problem is. I see him in the mirror every morning. And it's me. And all God's telling us is, listen, this side of eternity, it's going to be difficult. Why? Because of sin. It's just a reality, but why keep adding to the chaos? How about we ask God to enable us to do things His way? Because I promise you, His design is best. To walk in obedience through the power of the Holy Spirit and see what God does. Some of you are in some tight circumstances, some tough circumstances right now. And I wish I could tell you that I can assure you that if you start living for Jesus, all those tough circumstances are going to go away, but that's not true. We know that not to be true. But when we walk with the Lord, those circumstances get dimmer. They get less important. And even in the midst of the trials, we can have the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Your life ought to be marked with that fruit. No matter what the circumstances, because the circumstances change, but our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is the same. The Spirit who dwells in us is the same. The God that we serve is the same. What is the fruit that is prominent in your life? Is it conflict and chaos and drama? Or is it love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? I sometimes stir up the chaos and the drama and the other stuff. But may God enable us to walk in the love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. That's where God would have us. Jacob's life was full of conflict and chaos, but God was still working. May we decide we're not going to add to the chaos, but we're going to walk with Jesus. Father, as we pray, as we just take into account the different pieces in the story, that even before I was a man, as a young boy, I just recognized that this was not the way it was supposed to be, that as I grew and understood more, it just made less and less sense that those types of situations happen, and we hear about them in the Bible. And as a married man, I was convinced that there could not be peace or tranquility in this family. But even in the midst of all that chaos, in the midst of all that conflict, in the midst of all that was contrary to your design, you are bringing the answer for all of us. Because see, Lord, as we can sit here and talk about how messy Jacob's family was, all of our families are messy. All of our lives are messy. We do a good job of keeping it out of print most of the time, and we do a good job of presenting the picture that the world wants to see. But Lord, we all sit desperate daily in need of the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that those that have never been saved, that those that have never surrendered to Christ, that, Lord, they would recognize there is no hope of having peace without Jesus. To have peace, you must surrender to the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those that have never been saved, I pray that as they respond to just all the circumstances of their life, that they would cry out to Christ. Lord, that those that are saved, that if there's a step of obedience, you would have them to make. If it's baptism or if it's to unite with this body of believers, that they would recognize that peace comes through obedience to what Christ calls us to do. And for all the rest of us, that at the very least we'd be reminded that we are desperately dependent upon your grace to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, to walk in peace, even with the chaos that's around us. The world is always going to have that chaos and that conflict. Lord, may you enable your people not to add to that chaos with our actions, with our words, with our gossip, with our attitudes, with our way we treat others. Lord, help us not be the source of chaos in the world, but help us be the source of salt and light and hope in Christ Jesus. Lord, as we respond to your word, may you have your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.